It's 7:45 here on Giant 90.9. And that can only mean one thing. Your host, Owen Pulley, is alongside Maxwell Gilly and Lucas McKee in HD1 Studios. And it's time for the Sports Spotlight! Welcome to another episode of the Sports Spotlight here on Indy's Giant 90.9. My name is Owen Pulley, Maxwell Gilly, and Lucas McKee also alongside. We had a good week of football, and we talked a little bit about on Tuesday more in depth with the Colts. We do have some news. They were talking about cutting Rodrigo Blankenship. They did. They got rid of him with that problem there. But yeah, that's pretty much it. He was seen in Grand Park with Colts gear on, kicking field goals.
Yeah, kicking to himself. I saw that.
That's just sad, man. I wonder if anyone's going to even attempt to pick him up.
I think he'll get picked up. I think he'll be a guy that...
Yeah, he already did. The Jets signed him.
Are you being for real?
Yeah.
How did I miss that?
Hold on, let me see this.
The Jets signed him to his practice squad.
Oh. Huh.
I didn't know that.
Well, that's good. I'm happy he's not done. I think his biggest thing is don't have him on kickoff duty. He had to, obviously, for Rigoberto Sanchez. Because they weren't going to put Matt Hack out there.
And he kicked two out of bounds.
Yeah.
Which was unfortunate. But that's all the Colts news for Rodrigo Blankenship and the Indianapolis Colts. We're going to get right into the next part. We're going to do a pick'em today. We're going to get our picks on the games. The Chargers taking on the Chiefs today in Kansas City. Thursday night football. I got to take the Chiefs on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree. I got the Chargers. I know Keenan Allen is not going to be playing for this game. Their offense slowed down a little bit when Keenan Allen left that game last week, but their defense is what kept them in the game. And Patrick Mahomes did look absolutely amazing. 5 touchdowns, 560 yards. He looked like Patrick Mahomes. And normally the Chiefs do take this win, but I got the upset Chargers on Thursday Night Football. Taking the dub, Justin Herbert.
I'm still going for the Chiefs. You know, Patrick Mahomes. I'll admit, I for sure was a bit wrong. I was like, oh, he's going to step back a little bit this year. Obviously, he hasn't. I got to go with the Chiefs there when you are in Kansas City. It will be a fun one, though.
Very good game tonight. That's absolutely amazing.
That is the perfect way for Amazon to start their full NFL coverage with Chargers versus Chiefs. I actually think we got some way better Thursday night matchups than of years past.
There's some way better primetime games this year that I feel like there has been in recent years.
Yeah, definitely. I think that it's been like
they started off the season with Bills Rams.
I mean, there's no better way to start off.
It was great.
Yeah, but moving on to the noon games on Sunday, September 18th, Patriots and Steelers in Pittsburgh. Just because of the location, because it's in Pittsburgh, I got to go with the Steelers.
Me too. I'm going to go with the Steelers as well here. TJ Watt will not be in the game, unfortunately, for them, which is a huge part of their defense, but they still have Minka. They still have plenty of guys on that D-line, and I just don't see Mac Jones and Bill Belichick getting it done.
But it's one of those things that, like, it's the location, I think. If it's in New England's winning.
Well, New England did look a little sloppy on offense.
That is true. It is against Miami. It's like the Colts in Jacksonville. They struggle in Miami. Yeah.
That makes sense. Divisional games are always different. In week one, they're always liars. So.
Yeah.
Obviously, but I'm going to go with Pittsburgh as well. I just don't really see that much happening for New England this year. I really don't. And Pittsburgh has to remain competitive this year in a AFC North division that as a good Baltimore team and a good Bengals team this year, so they want to obviously be competitive still.
This one, kind of like, nobody's really watching this game. I mean, some people will be for fantasy reasons, but not in this area. Nobody's watching the Panthers versus the Giants, but that's a game on Sunday. I honestly think, it's kind of going to be unanimous here.
I have
New York.
Yeah, Giants.
Oh, I was going to be different. I was going to go with the Panthers this year. Yeah, I want to be different. But no, I've never I haven't trusted the Giants at all. I didn't think they were going to win week one. I don't think they're going to win week two. You never see the Giants start off the season well at all, so that's why I'm going with the Panthers here.
All right, Jets and Browns in Cleveland. I think the Jets can pull it off. I think the away game, I think that Sauce Gardner is really showing he's Darrelle Revis 2.0. And I think that he's going to be a driving force on that defense, and I think that he's going to help the Jets get a victory this week.
I believe that this game comes down to running and run defense, because neither teams really have a quarterback to throw.
Colts legend Jacoby Brissett?
Legend?
Colts legend Jacoby Brissett, legend? Yes. Yeah. Legend.
He beat the Chiefs. I'll give him that. I think it's going to be more run dominant game. So when you look at the run defense and then run offense for both sides, I have the Browns taking this one.
I just think Browns have a better roster. And even though both teams have bad quarterbacks, because Joe Flacco, we can't trust him for the Jets at all. I'm just going Browns there in Cleveland.
Yeah, Jacoby Brissett has the mobility of a rolling chair on carpet. So.
Yeah, Colts and Jaguars in Jacksonville. The Colts have struggled in years past in Jacksonville. That last loss coming last year that kicked them out of the playoffs. I think they snapped their losing streak this year in Jacksonville. I think the Colts are on top. I know we say that every year.
Exactly. That's what I was supposed to say. I was like, it happens every year. I watch videos and analyst predictions. They always say Colts too, and it just never happens. Since 2013, they haven't won there. But I'm also going to say this year, I think it's got to be this year.
It is unacceptable to have tied the Houston Texans. There's no way that the Colts will not beat Jacksonville this year. I mean, they have to be successful. This is their year to win the South. You can't be losing in Jacksonville anymore. So that's why the Colts have to get this victory, and that's why I'm calling them to get the dub.
All right, so it's unanimous. Indianapolis is going to win here. Miami Dolphins at the Baltimore Ravens at noon. Got to go with... Oh, these are all Western... These are all Central Time. I don't know why it's Central Time. But anyway, these are 1 o'clock games. This is... I don't know why it was... It's showing noon. That's Central. 1 o'clock games, just to not confuse anybody. They're on 1 o'clock. But the Dolphins taking on the Ravens in Baltimore. The Dolphins coming off a big win against the Patriots. The Ravens beating the Jets. The Jets, excuse me. I don't know why I said the Jaguars. The Jets. Both teams coming off big dubs against teams that kind of weren't... I mean, the Ravens were expected to win that game. But the Dolphins were not expected to beat the Patriots. I don't think. And they did. So I got to give this one to the Dolphins. I think they got it in for another win.
I was thinking Dolphins. Last year they helped pulled the upset win to help them on their 7-win streak to get them into the playoffs. I have the Dolphins defense just showing Lamar up again once again. And I think Dolphins take this.
This is a really tough pick for me because this is a Miami team that obviously will be better this year. I've never trusted Tua, though, as quarterback. And Lamar's obviously the better quarterback, but that's really about the only advantage Baltimore has. Overall, I think Miami's just a better team, so we got to go Miami here. But this is an important game for Miami. If they want to be contenders this year, they have to get these big wins, and this would be a big win for the Dolphins. And also, this would be, I think, one of the first times the Dolphins have been, 2-0, possibly to start the season in, a long time. So there'd be that as well.
I thought they started 3-0 in 2019.
I guess so.
Or 2020.
I don't know. Time I see them, I'm always doing garbage and never contenders.
But
this year, they may be. Or they're going to be just the normal Dolphins and just screw it up at the end. Who knows?
Tyreek definitely adds a key piece because he definitely went off in that game. And Jalen Waddle is also a great receiver as well. So they got weapons on that side of offense, and their defense is great as well.
And I think they have better coaching, and that's very important as well.
Absolutely.
All right, another divisional game here. The Buccaneers taking on the Saints in New Orleans. I get the Buccaneers winning this one.
I got the Saints... Yeah, just absolutely owning Tom Brady again. Not like a blowout, I feel like the only reason the Saints were close in the Falcons game was because Marcus Mariota is able to escape out of the pocket and run, and as we know, Tom Brady cannot really do that. He's not mobile. He does not run out of the pocket. So I think the Saints defense can contain Tom Brady and Jarvis Landry and Michael Thomas and Jameis Winston will do the thing and get the W.
I don't trust Jameis Winston at all. I know the Saints have a good defense, but I just think the Buccaneers as a whole are way better than the Saints, so I'm calling the Buccaneers to get the win there.
Yeah, I do think that the Buccaneers can get it done on Sunday. The Commanders and the Lions, Carson Wentz put on a masterclass of quarterback last week. 4 touchdowns for the Commanders. Now, I want to get your guys' opinions. We're going to say who we think is going to win on three. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Lions.
Commanders.
Lions.
Wow.
Lions. Both the Lions put up. Lions put up a fight against a team who went to the playoffs last year and a team who is playoff contenders this year and a really good team that only got better from last year. And I feel like Lions and DeAndre Swift and St. Brown, they're going to do...
Monroe St. Brown is really good.
Yeah, I feel like with Aiden Hutchinson already looking amazing as is, I think Lions take their first W. Their first W here.
I thought you guys were going to say... I thought you guys were both going to say Mm-mm. Commanders, too. Wow. Max,
we can't trust Carson Wentz to do that good than 1 week. And I really do think this Lions team will be better this year.
Me too.
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs at all, but I don't think they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league. I really think that they can be better. They got a lot of good young talent.
There's a lot of emotion behind that team now with Hard Knocks, and a lot of people are seeing that, and more people are paying attention to the Lions. So they got more to prove this year, and I feel like they're playing with more passion, and they're going to get this. They're going to the game was so close last week. They probably weren't even – obviously, they weren't okay with it, but they were probably like, okay, this is one step closer.
Yeah, I think that the Commanders are going to come out on top, but I do think it'll be a close fun game. But Seahawks and 49ers, the Seahawks last week coming out on Monday Night Football, winning by the skin of their teeth, 17-16, all because of a Brandon McManus missed 64-yard field goal because they kicked it. That's a whole thing.
Yeah, because you pay your quarterback $245 million to kick the ball.
Yeah, because Russell Wilson kicks balls and $250 million, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. I think the 49ers are going to take this one.
I've been on the 49ers all year. I think they're really going to be a much better team this year. So I think the 49ers are going to easily handle the Seahawks. I mean, I thought that was going to happen with Denver, and obviously that didn't happen. So
I think,
as long as the 49ers don't have to kick it like 62 yards, I think they should be fine.
I think with Elijah Moore being out and Trey Lance not looking too comfortable in the last game he was playing for starters, I don't think 49ers are taking this. I just don't see it.
So taking Seattle, interesting.
Yeah, Geno Smith looked great against that Broncos defense, or what's supposed to be Broncos defense. Broncos defense. I can't really say that right now, but Geno Smith looked great. Tyler Lockett looked him. I think it's also going to be a close game, and it's going to be barely a win, like 2-3 points.
By the way, you're listening to WBDGFM HD1 Indianapolis, the Sports Spotlight Indy's Giant 90.9. The Falcons and the Rams kicking off at 4:00. I got the Rams in this one easily.
Yeah, I got the no, I'm just playing. I got the Rams. I have the Rams easily as well.
The Falcons randomly will get big time wins. I don't know why, but I don't think that's going to be in week two. I'm going Rams all the way here. Just Rams should dominate the Falcons.
Unless the Falcons dominate first half and then, you know, blow it.
Blow it, yeah. Cardinals and the Raiders in the desert of Las Vegas. I think that the Cardinals are going to get the away dub against the Raiders. I think that something's going to happen and Derek Carr is going to struggle with Devontae Adams.
I think the Cardinals are going to game plan for Devontae Adams and be on him more. So they still have Hunter Renfrow, Josh Jacobs, and Darren Waller to throw to. So I think they also Raiders. They're still a pretty good team. Their defense is pretty great. Although the Cardinals didn't look that good, Kyler Murray didn't know what was going on with some plays because obviously that 4 hours of study is not going on. The Cardinals are not winning. Kyler Murray, it's not.
I'm not trusting the Cardinals at all this year. I'm going Raiders in this one. I think the Raiders are going to be a really good team, and I know this entire AFC West is going to be very good this year, and that's how they're going to end up killing their season by losing to their division opponents. But no, I think the Raiders are just going to get the big win in Vegas.
Texans, Broncos, the 0-0-1 Texans and the 0-1 Broncos. I gotta take the Broncos in this one.
Yeah, I think Broncos come get their first dub right here.
There's no way the Broncos can lose to the Texans. There's absolutely
no way the Colts can tie the Texans.
Saying that, I swear if the Denver Broncos end up losing, I will not be a happy camperman.
Imagine if I was gonna say, has any team in history ever gone 0-0? Has anyone ever tied twice?
There's bound to be someone who's tied twice, but to do it two games
start,
in a row,
yeah, like in a row,
to start 0-0-2,
like
0-0-2,
like that's, I would be 0-0-0-3. It just keeps going. That would be. The Texans are only good enough just to keep up right there. That would be so annoying though if you just keep tying.
I think
teams.
You would make the. Would you make the playoffs?
You're at 500 the whole time.
You're technically unbeaten.
Yeah. But you also technically haven't beaten anybody. Right. I don't know.
All right, the Bengals and the Cowboys and Jerry World. Excuse me, Dallas. Didn't mean to say that, Jerry World. I got to take the Bengals. I mean, the Cowboys already lost Dak Prescott for 6 to 8 weeks.
Yep.
Bengals.
Bengals. Easy.
Bengals.
Who day?
Bears and Packers. The Bears beating the 49ers last week in a monsoon in Chicago. And then the Packers losing last week to the Vikings. I gotta take the Bears on this one. I think that Justin Fields is gonna show up.
There's no way that the Green Bay Packers are going to lose the national TV once again.
It is the Bears and it is national TV.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers has owned the Bears for who knows how long.
This is honestly one of my hardest picks of this week.
That is Sunday Night Football, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, and it's where's this game at?
Green Bay.
Lambeau.
Packers are taking it.
I do think that the Bears could win this game, but it is all the odds. It is the Bears. It is in Green Bay.
Yeah.
And it is Sunday Night Football.
It would just be really embarrassing if Green Bay lost on national TV Sunday night to the Bears, who he claims to own. At home, and then the Bears are like, "We own you now." That'd be something.
Yeah, that would definitely be something. But that is Sunday Night Football.
Yeah. Now we
have our guest here. But yeah, we're gonna talk about Monday Night Football real quick. We're gonna go Titans and Bills in Buffalo. I gotta take the Bills on this one. Monday Night Football.
Absolutely, Bills are gonna win. Just nothing with the Titans this year.
And then Monday Night Football again, 7:30, Vikings and the Eagles. I got to go with the Eagles. I think the Eagles are going to win this game.
I know Lucas has been on the Eagles all season long, and I tend to agree with him. I'm going to go with the Eagles there.
Yeah, definitely there. So we're going to go. That's our pick'ems for the week. Per the Sports Spotlight, we're going to go to a one-minute break and then come back. We have a special guest, Nylon Brown. Going to talk to us a little bit about high school football and maybe get his picks on some college picks. So we're going to go to a one-minute break on Indy's Giant 90.9.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking? Al-Anon and Alateen can help. Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
And welcome back to the Sports Spotlight, Indy's Giant 90.9. I'm Owen Pulley alongside Maxwell Gilley and Lucas McKee. We also have a special guest, Ben Davis' Giants' very own middle linebacker, correct?
Yes, sir.
Middle linebacker. Nylon Brown. Nylon, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, man. Been a rough morning. Been up since 4. So it's been a rough morning, but I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I've been pretty good, you know. So we got you here today. Obviously, you're a student athlete here at Ben Davis High School.
Yes, sir.
What's that like? Run us kind of through a day of practice and then like a game day of being a student athlete.
So throughout the week, it's pretty taxing. You got to get your film study in, got to get your schoolwork on. I'm always busy, so there's never a time for me to really have time to myself. But when I do find time, it's pretty relaxing. It's my relaxing day. It's pretty hard as a student athlete, especially for Ben Davis High School and being a captain of the football team. Pretty hard, but I enjoy it. I enjoy the challenge every single day. It's exciting to do, to be able to be a Ben Davis Giant since I've been here. And on the prep of game days or in practice, it's we really focus on formations and things we gotta fix and normal things throughout our job throughout the day and what's gonna go on throughout the game the entire time. So we go through game like situations in practice, and then on Fridays we get out of school at 3:20. Then we're back. We're in the harvest for food immediately. We eat for about 20 minutes, and then after that is game time, man. After you eat, you locked in because you're getting taped up, you're getting your jersey together, you're going through formations, you're going through your job over for a few minutes, and then you're on that bus, it's time for you to lock in. So it's exciting. It's nerve-wracking because I say it's nerve-wracking because I care so much, and when you care about something, you're nervous. You got those little butterflies, but it's not a nervous of, oh, man, I'm scared for what's going to happen. It's more like, I'm excited to make plays, and I know I'm going to make mistakes, but it's going to be exciting just to fall back on it.
So you guys took on a very difficult Center Grove team last week. They unfortunately got the win, but it was a very close one. What really happened from the first half to the second half?
From the first half to the second half, I believe we were up and down with our emotions. We were riding off emotions too much, so that took a toll on us throughout the game. After halftime, we weren't coming off an emotion at a high state. And the Center Grove was able to bounce back off that. So them being able to do that caused us to lose that game. So the one thing we have focused on this week in practice was being able to stay at the same level of emotion the entire week. And if we can all stay at a high rate, play at a high rate, then things will be easy for us, and we always play at the best.
So you got a big game coming this week against Warren, the 98th time.
Yeah, man, every game's a big game.
Right.
Every game's a big game.
Yeah, every game is a big game.
Yeah.
But when you have a rivalry like Warren, I talked to Coach Simmons yesterday on Inside Ben Davis Football, and he said that coming into Ben Davis, you know about Warren.
Yeah.
Like, you know about the Warren game.
Versus West Side, man.
Right. I mean, like I said, 98 times since 1937. I mean, they played every year since then. How is it going? I mean, like you said, every game's a big game. But when you get a game, it's a conference game.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are 1-0 in the conference right now.
Mm-hmm.
When you're playing your second conference game, how is that kind of, you know what I mean? I mean, it's a big game.
How does it feel?
Yeah, how does it feel going against a team like Warren?
It's a big game, but a team like Warren is where we're trying to find where they're not as good at. We're trying to find their weak points. So it's not really in the way of my mindset of me saying, oh, man, it's a big game because East Side versus West Side, I got to play a different way. I got to look a different way. I got to do certain things a different way. I'm going to keep doing the same thing I've been doing because it's been working, you know? I'm going to keep being a leader. I'm going to keep staying focused on what my job is. I'm going to keep leading the defense around me, keep knowing everybody's job is. But other than that, every game is a big game. Can't get that misguided. Every game is a big game in the mid-conference, especially on our schedule, every single game. We play LN, we play Center Grove, we play Carmel, we play Brownsburg. We got one of the best schedules in the state of Indiana, and we play at the highest rate every single week. So I wouldn't say it's stressful. I wouldn't say having a big game is hard. But me knowing that it's our 98th time playing Warren Central, okay. That's all I can say. Okay.
So you guys obviously are in a very difficult MIC conference. Would you say that winning conference this year is a major goal, or do you guys want to be more focused by game?
We're just focused on winning the next day, man. Win the next day in the classroom, win the next day in the weight room. next day in the film room, in practice, just win the next day. Because by the time Friday rolls around, you just got to go out there and ball out. It's either you prepped right or you didn't. Proper preparation leads to proper performance, you know? So we live by that every single day. So if we're not preparing right, then we're not going to play right on Friday nights.
So how much, obviously, you got Coach Vanderbush as the strength and conditioning coach. And you guys, I noticed, I believe it's period 4 or 5, you guys all live together. A lot of the football guys live together. How much is that kind of a camaraderie, not just as summer lifting, after school lifting, morning lifting with the team, but how much is that just in the classroom of a weights class? How big is that too?
It's big. You build different relationships with guys when you're around them all the time. Like with weights, it's fun because you see guys make mistakes and then you're like, man, you know what you got to fix for that. Or you just build a different bond because you're always around those dudes, especially in the weight room. It's a fun time. And being around Coach Vanderbush and Coach Simmons, being able to teach you about certain things you got to work on in the weight room, certain things that can help you with your technique, they're always a great help. And we always have a good bond, an emotional bond as well. So I enjoy it a lot. It's important to me.
How do you deal with adversity?
Adversity? It depends on what it is. It depends on what kind of adversity it is. If it's like family, if it's football, if I just messed up my job on the last play, I flush it immediately. Just flush it, because the more you think about it, the more you dwell on that past mistakes, the more you're going to make more mistakes throughout that next thing, that next play, that next snap, or that next homework assignment. You just got to be able to just win the next one.
So that's really – actually, I do have one more question before we get this – before the interview kind of finishes out. Now, obviously, you're a student-athlete. Student-athlete, not always. An athlete-student.
Yes, sir.
How big – obviously, it's a big thing, but – how big to you? I know some students, you know, the field gets bigger than the classroom. How big is the classroom to the field?
It's way bigger than the 100-yard fields, the 120-yard field. It's way bigger than that rectangle. But being a student athlete, you have to have a different mindset. You have to be focused on your grades more. You have to be focused on your schedule. You have to have great time management. You got to put that student first always. And my mom's always been big on me since I was a kid. If you don't got them grades right, you're not going to play no ball. You're not going to play anything. I'm not going to play basketball, soccer, football, none of that. All the things I was involved in, track. If my grade is not right, I'm not playing. So my mom has always taught me well. My parents have taught me well, as well as my pops. So it's big. It's big. Big time. Student, always before athlete. If you're student, if you don't got your studies right, you're not going to be nothing. Because outside of the sports, after football's over, after track is over, all I got is my mind. And I say the same thing for everybody. After school, like, if you don't got nothing else on your second, like if you don't got a plan B, then what you doing in life? Like, are you really investing all your time into yourself the proper way if you don't have a plan B, or are you really just trying to just win that athletic look on life? So, yeah, the student part is big. It's very big.
So that's going to do it for our interview with Nyland Brown. I just want to give you a big thank you showing up in the morning and taking time out of your day to come on the show. So it's an interview with Nyland Brown. We're going to come back with a little bit more college and stuff like that here on Indy's Giant 90.9.
I've been driving trucks for a long time. Safety is my number one priority. I know that my truck has huge blind spots. That's why I remember to check my mirrors often for smaller vehicles. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're behind the wheel, try to avoid lingering in those blind spots. It can be dangerous. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Yes. Maybe you're not sure how you'll make rent, or you lost your job. When you don't know where to turn, let 211 be your guiding light. Our guides are ready to connect you with the help you need.
211, how can I help you?
Call or visit 211.org. 211, get connected, get help. A message from United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Sports Spotlight in East Giant 90.9. We're playing a ragtime rendition of Wake Me Up by Avicii. Kind of just picked a song, and that's what we're rolling with today. But we're here with Nylan Brown. We got the interview, a great interview with the college football, with the athlete here, Ben Davis. But we're going to get into a little bit of college picks for the upcoming weekend here. We talked about the NFL, and now we're going to talk about it here. We got some big games coming up here, if I can. I had it. There we go. Live radio, everybody. We got some big time games here. Kentucky taking on Youngstown State. Kind of one of those games that Kentucky's going to win, but I did bring it up. The reason I did bring it up is because last week we had a lot of games where big teams lost to small teams. I mean, Nylan, what do you think about this game?
Kentucky versus Youngstown State.
Yeah,
it should be a good game for Kentucky. They should be able to play at a high rate, just get some points on the board, get their offense some confidence, get the ball out to the wide receivers, have the D line, have the linebackers make a few plays, probably cause a few forced fumbles or interceptions. You know, it's just always when big schools play small schools, it gives the small schools an opportunity to see how can they really match up with these guys, but. With the big schools playing smaller schools, it's really like we got to play at a high rate. We need to minimize our mistakes, and we just got to play good football.
Kentucky wants to prove that they're going to be one of the best teams in the SEC, so they're just going to have to just throttle Youngstown State.
Right.
Now, another game, we talked about it a little bit off air, Notre Dame taking on Cal. You're going to be at that game, you said?
Yeah, Notre Dame invited me out to that game, so I'll be there watching that on the sideline or in the stands. Be exciting time. We'll see a big time AC. What? Notre Dame's an ACC now, right?
They're independent.
Independent again?
But they're tech. I mean, they're kind of. When I think of Notre Dame, I think of them in the ACC.
It'll be cool to see a Pac-12 team at least coming out all the way from California to South Bend, Indiana, just to play Notre Dame. So I know Notre Dame's 0-2. They've had a rough start. Losing that Ohio State game and then going against Marshall last Saturday. So it'll be a good time seeing them.
Yeah, I'm just going to go Notre Dame there. I mean, they have to get a win, right?
Right.
There's no way they can go 0-3.
Right. If they lose this game, Maxwell's going to be bad, man. It'll be bad. They'll lose their playoff chances big time. But they are. I heard they talked about expanding the playoffs next year.
I think 2023, or might be a little later than that, but I think 2023 that I think that it's going to be 12 right. teams.
Yeah, 12 teams. It's exciting. You can see more opportunities.
So if Notre Dame doesn't win, I probably won't watch another game this season. Honestly.
Number one, Georgia taking on unranked South Carolina. Georgia, kind of, they're showing off why they're the national champion, the reigning national champion.
Yes.
I think this would be a big game for Georgia to take on the Gamecocks of South Carolina.
For sure. I think Georgia's going to come out with that W out of there. South Carolina's been having a tough season so far in the beginning, so I think I'll take Georgia on that one.
Going to go 100% with Georgia there. They're number one for a reason, and they're going to show South Carolina why they're number one and why they're the defending champions.
Yeah, we got Purdue taking on Syracuse in the Carrier Dome. Now, Syracuse, that'll be a definitely good game.
Yeah.
Purdue is a better team on paper.
Yes.
But Syracuse is one of those teams that you cannot get an easy, Jake Query said it this morning on Kevin and Query, you cannot get an easy punch-out victory
right.
when you play Syracuse in right. Syracuse.
It's going to be a battle always when you play Syracuse. Even though they're a small, whether aren't they, ACC?
Yeah,
they're a small ACC school, but they'll always give you a run for your money. They might not have some of the top players, but they're always running and going. I enjoy watching them play.
I feel like Syracuse is one of those teams who people forget about, but then like once they do good, people are like, oh yeah, I forgot about them, and then it happens again. It happens, like, oh yeah, I forgot about them.
Right,
and it just keeps happening.
It's like same thing with North Carolina Tar Heels. Same thing with them. They'll come out and win some games here and there and show people what they can really do.
I'm going with Purdue here, but like you guys have been saying, it will be a close one. But I'm excited for this one. I think it'll be a competitive one.
Yes, sir.
IU taking on Western Kentucky in Bloomington. IU 2-0 on the season. Another big game.
Had a tough one against Idaho last week. I went to go visit that one. It was a good game. K came out slow in the second half. It was raining. The balls were wet. Quarterback couldn't get a little tempo going, a roll going. But they have a great running back, Sean Shivers. Number two, he's a transfer out of Auburn. I think he's a 6-year player. He's a dog. He's an absolute dog. I love the way he runs the ball. I like the way IU's defense is playing right now. They got linebacker number 44. They got a DN that came out of Bloomington South, I believe. Number zero, McCullum. I forget his first name. I think it's DeMar Donovan. But he's a great football player. All around good football team. They're still developing their team, but I feel like once they get the ball running with the offense, they get the tempo going with their new starting quarterback, things are going to be great for them this season.
So if we look at the numbers, these two teams are a bit closer on paper, but I think at the end of the day, it just goes for talent, and IU's going to have better talent than Western Kentucky.
I'll agree with that one, big dog. I'm not going to lie.
Auburn and Penn State going head-to-head in Auburn. That's definitely a good game. Unranked Auburn and 22-ranked Penn State University. Definitely a big game. I think I got to go with Penn State on this one.
Yeah, man. Penn State's running back, the starting freshman, number 10. He's leading the nation in yards per carry with 10.9 yards per carry. I forget the young man's name, but he's a dog, dude. He's a dog. I love watching him run the ball. Him as well. He's got big-time talent. Big-time talent. So we're going to see how Penn State defense takes that against Auburn's high-power offense. We're just gonna have to watch that one. I can't even say who I take with that. What do you think, Max?
That's going to be a really, really fun one. But I'm just going to call Penn State getting the victory there. You know, they want to keep continuing to get these big wins. They want to show that, hey, they're better than 22.
Yeah.
So we got to get Penn State with the victory there.
Miami taking on Texas A&M. In Texas, Texas lost a tough one last week.
Against Bama, right?
Texas. That was Texas. They lost to Bama.
Yeah. Texas A&M.
Lost. I can't think of who. It was a Sun Belt team.
Oh, wow.
Appalachian State.
Can't sleep on those guys.
No, definitely not. It was the Sun Belt week last weekend. Mm-hmm. But Texas A&M dropped from 6th to 24th.
Oh, wow.
24th ranked. I mean, Notre Dame's unranked now, just thinking of teams that dropped big time in the past week. But Texas A&M, 24th overall in the AP, and Miami 13th. I think that Texas A&M, they struggled last week, and I think that Miami's just kind of – I think that Miami's going to take the advantage of the Texas A&M drawback. I mean, obviously, as a football player yourself,
you lose a tough game
like that.
Right. I haven't seen much on either team, so I couldn't say I couldn't say anything really about them. But I know what it's like losing a game like that. Against a smaller school, they play in a different conference, and losing that game, that makes you question your football team a little bit. Losing against small schools help really question your football team, because it asks your big time guys, what are we doing wrong? What do we need to fix?
Emotion really affects football too. So like, you come out firing when something doesn't make you feel good about yourself or good about like what happened last. Like you said during the interview, like flush the play away.
You gotta
flush that game away. It's a new game.
Yes, sir. Exactly right. That's exactly how they gotta play every single week.
So the big thing with Texas A&M is they wanna show that they are much better than their ranking is. And I know Miami is a good team, but I just think Texas A&M is gonna take all that frustration from last week out on Miami, and they're gonna get the win.
Yeah, so with that game there, that's going to end our show, this episode of the Sports Spotlight. Thank you. Huge shout out to Nylon Brown for coming out.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you. Thank you for this morning. I appreciate you guys a lot.
Yeah, so next week, next Tuesday, we're going to kind of recap the entire weekend of football, college, a little bit of Ben Davis, and the NFL. But until Tuesday, this has been the Sports Spotlight, Indy's Giant 90.9.